Take our Bibles, if you would, and let's turn to anywhere you want to turn to. No, I'm just teasing. Let's turn to, first of all, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and mark in your Bible there a place, a bookmark or something, because we're going to come back to this chapter in just a moment. But let's go over to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to start there. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now, talks about the seraphims, and talks about all those things that they do. We're not going to talk about that tonight. Very interesting study. You ought to do that sometime. We're going to talk about Elijah tonight, and I want us to learn from the life of Elijah tonight, and he saw his need for personal revival, and we've got a revival coming up, and we need to see that same thing tonight, the need for personal revival. That's the title of the message, The Need for Personal Revival. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's exactly what we need today. Even though it's been written, some of it, over 6,000 years ago, but it's still exactly what we need, and I thank you for that. Thank you that we have a living Word of God that's our guide in our life, Lord, and our handbook for the things that we ought to do as a Christian. So, Lord, just bless us tonight. Use us. Pray that you'll give me the power to preach this message that I need in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of God. Isaiah was commissioned to speak on behalf of God. He was to speak to the children of God, kind of the representative of God, to give them the things that they needed. Of all the prophets in the Bible, probably Isaiah would be considered one of the most unsuccessful prophets in the sight of man. The best we know in the teaching in the Word of God, he didn't have any converts. He didn't have a lot of followers. He spoke a message that was rejected many a times. His message wasn't popular, okay, but it was sent from God. And so it was in the eyes of man, he was probably rejected. But you know what? Success is not measured as far as the response of man. But success is measured by the smile of God. And God smiled upon the life of Elijah. And he used Elijah in many ways. And here he's using him to speak to the children of Israel. History tells us that Elijah died a martyr. History tells us that he was sawed asunder for the very message that he preached. If he was preaching today, he probably wouldn't be very popular. If he was preaching today, he might even be accepted in some Baptist churches today. But he was God's man. And he was here giving a word of warning to Israel of the pending judgment that was going to come upon them if they didn't repent. Some have called Isaiah a prophet of salvation. The gospel, there's more references to the gospel and more references to the Messiah in the book of Isaiah than any other prophet in the Word of God. In the book of Isaiah, it's interesting, in the first 39 chapters, it's a prediction of the judgment and the law and the things that God was going to bring on to the children of Israel. It spoke about the holiness of God. In the last 26 chapters, it's about the Messiah and the grace that the Messiah was going to bring and the reign of Christ on this earth. It's interesting, the book of Isaiah has been called a miniature Bible because of the 66 chapters you find in Isaiah. 66 books in our Bible. The first 39 books in the Bible, they tell us about the coming Messiah, and they prophesy about the coming Messiah. The last 27 books in the Bible, which is our New Testament, it talks about the grace and the reign of Christ. The first 39 books in the Bible point to the Messiah. The next 27 books, our New Testament, show fulfillment of the Messiah and his reign. And so that's an interesting fact about the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's writing here in very difficult times. God's people's hearts have been hardened. God's people's hearts have been hurt. They had enjoyed the blessings of God. We read throughout the whole Old Testament how God's blessed the children of Israel. They've enjoyed all the things that God had for them. Of course, they complained a lot, but they also got to receive the blessings and the joy of the knowledge of knowing God and his power. But the Bible teaches here that their hearts have been removed from God. So God gives Isaiah here in these verses we read a heavenly vision. He gives them a fresh view of God. Let's look at that in verse 1 again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He gave Isaiah a new view. Gave him a renewed view of God and what God was. And you and I, sometimes we need that new view, that fresh view of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going through some hard times. You know, you and I go through some hard times in our lives, but that's when we need a personal revival. And when we go through those hard times, it's a time we can see that God wants to bless us and he wants to refresh us and renew us in our Christian life. Our nation needs revival. We know that. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. Our community needs revival. Our church needs revival. But, you know, there's not a lot I can do about the revival of our nation, the revival of our community, even the revival of our church, except for pray. That's what God's asked us to do, pray for those things, that God would bring revival to those. But we need revival. I need revival. I need personal revival in my life. You need personal revival in your life, and we can do something about that. Collectively, we could do something for our church. Collectively, we could do something for our community. Collectively, we could do something for our nation. But each and every one of us need a personal revival. And Isaiah had personal revival. And I want you to see what happened when this happened. I hope you see your need for personal revival tonight. Let me just say this. If you don't see your need for personal revival, you need personal revival more than anybody else. And so we need to see that tonight. You can have a fresh view of God in your life. We need a high view of God. Look what it says here in chapter 6, verse 1 again. I saw also the Lord sitting high upon a throne, high and lifted up. And we need to see Christ that way again. We need to see God that way again, high and lifted up. We've gotten complacent. We've gotten in our lives where we're just going along with the flow, and we quit looking up. And so Isaiah had a personal revival. We need to make sure we are setting the week of April 9th through the 14th, set it aside for some time of personal revival. But let me say this, we need it before April 9th. We need it tonight. We need it tomorrow. We'll need it Friday. We need it every day of our lives, a high lifted view of Jesus Christ. Develop that high view of God in your life. When he saw God, what did he say? Look at verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." He saw God's holiness. When he lifted up his eyes, he looked up, he saw that God was holy. I like how it says three holies. There's different people, different commentaries why there were three holies. I like this one the best. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And that's good enough for me. These folks that don't believe in the Trinity, I'll take that. Even sometimes, even in the Old Testament, it talks about the Trinity, and there's those that don't believe in the Trinity and that Jesus was God himself. But I like that thought, that those three holies were for the three parts of God. And so he saw that. All he could see, that's all he saw, that God was holy. The nation of Judah was in turmoil. Their beloved king, Uzziah, was a popular king. They loved Uzziah, and he's died. They're in a troubled time. They're in a time when they don't know what they're going to do. Their king has died. Isaiah says right in the midst of this tragedy that he needed a personal revival. God usually works in the times of tragedy, doesn't he? God usually works in the times of trouble. When things are going on in our lives, if we'll draw close to him and we'll look up to him, he'll bring us through those things. Sad to say, many times people, when they go through tragedy, they go through troubles, what do? They run away from God. They run away from the church. They run away from the one that could help them the most, the Holy Spirit. And so God uses times for us to see a fresh look, a fresh view of who he is. I think of 9/11. Remember back in 9/11, that tragedy happened to our nation, and we heard a bunch of people talking about coming back to God. It didn't take very long, and they're back to their old ways. The floods of 94, the floods of 98, people were drawn back to God. The storms of 2017 felt a wave of revival coming through our city a little bit. We're already getting back to our regular selves. Things are getting back to normal. I've had a few people visiting. Brother Baker last night came down 82 and saw some of the things that happened on to Cooper Tire and all those things in the church, Albany Baptist, all those things. And I said, really, it looks bad, but it looked a lot worse several weeks ago. We're just getting back to normal. And so a lot of times God wants to use these times of tragedy, these times of crisis in our lives to bring us back to him so we'll have a new, fresh look. But we just get back to normal. Times of great trial or troubles are great times for great revival. You may be going through something personal that no one knows anything about. Believe this. God wants to bring revival to your heart. God wants to use whatever's going on in your life. Maybe no one else knows anything about it. He wants to use it to bring revival to your heart. During this time of tragedy and the king dying, Isaiah, he didn't start looking around what was going on. If he looked around and saw what was going on, he saw there was an empty throne of Uzziah. But the Bible says here in verse 1 that he looked up. He lifted up. He was high and lifted up. He was on a throne. If he had looked out this way, with the circumstances of life, he'd have saw an empty throne. The king had died. There was no one on the throne. But what did he do? He looked up and he saw a throne, the throne of God, a God who's faithful, a God who never leaves his throne, a God who is there for us whenever we need him. During this time, he started looking up and he saw some great things. He doesn't see the empty throne. He sees the everlasting throne. God is sitting on that throne. He's not moved at all. And we have that great hope also that Isaiah had. He got his eyes off the circumstances, and he got his eyes on the Lord. I believe today we as Christians have gotten our eyes on the circumstances and have taken our eyes off the Lord. I got to pick out the songs tonight because I was preaching this message, and we sang the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face. The song says, turn. That means we've been looking away. Let's look back to God and let Him do a work in our lives. That's where revival begins. When we turn from whatever we're looking at, the circumstance, whatever it might be, and we turn back to God, that's where revival begins in our lives. That's when we experience revival. What is revival? There's been different thoughts of what revival is. Some people think revival is people running around crazy, doing somersaults and cartwheels and all that stuff. That's not revival. You know what that is? That's people running around doing cartwheels and somersaults. That's what that is. Okay. We need real revival. Some people say, well, I felt revival because everyone was happy. Happiness doesn't bring revival. Revival brings holiness. And holy living brings happy living. You can't be happy tonight if you're not living holy. People are looking for happiness. They want happiness in their lives. And if we don't live holy, we can't live happy. Well, what happens when we experience this high look, this new view of God in our lives, this fresh view of look in our lives? We're going to see three things tonight, real quickly tonight. First of all, we find in verse 1, self is reduced. Self is reduced. It says here in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He didn't see himself. He didn't see the circumstances he was going through. He saw the Lord. Self is reduced. Until we get self reduced in our lives, we cannot have revival. I ask you to hold a place there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Would you go there with me? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll be coming back to Isaiah chapter 6. In just a moment. But I want you to learn a little bit about this man Uzziah. The king who had died. We can learn some things from the life of Uzziah that will help us realize why Isaiah lifted up his eyes to God and it brought fresh revival to his heart. Look at verse 1 of chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholai of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now Amaziah wasn't a good king, but Uzziah took over. And Uzziah made things right with his nation. He followed after God. He did the things that pleased God. And he walked in the way of the Lord. God blessed him. He let him serve for 52 years. He was 16 years old when he became the king. He served for 52 years, and we'll see that he died. Lived for 68 years. And so we want to see some things about Uzziah. He served God. He followed God. God had blessed him for turning the nation back to God. God had used him in a mighty way. He became very full of wisdom. If we study out the life of Uzziah, we won't take the time to do that tonight. But he became full of wisdom. God wanted to use him. He became famous in the area of military. He had a great military mind, defending the cities of Judah, helping helping the nation of Judah and being what they ought to be. He's blessed by God. God is using him mightily. But let's look what happened to Uzziah in verse 16. Drop down to verse 16. And you ought to study the rest of that between the verses we read here in chapter 26. We can't take the time to do that. But drop down to verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was strong, when he was being used of God, when he was mighty, look what happened. The Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. A lot of times in our lives, we start doing some great things for the Lord, and we kind of get a haughty spirit, don't we? We almost sometimes get a better than thou spirit. We think we're a little better than somebody else. And what'll happen? We'll bring the same kind of destruction that came upon the life of Uzziah. The Bible says, we go on and read here in verse 16. The Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. We say, well, Brother Mark, what's wrong with that? That was a good thing. He's going into the temple to burn incense. That wasn't his job. God had three divisions, three heads. He had the prophets, he had the priests, and he had the kings. And they all had their jobs to do. The prophet was to prophesy. The priest was supposed to take care of the tabernacle and do the things there. And the king was supposed to run the country, defend him, protect the country. And so they were doing what they were supposed to do. But because of his pride, he went in there and thought, well, I can do this. I can just see it in my mind. He probably barged into the temple. We'll read a verse. It talks about him having a censer in his hand. So the prophet found in verse 17, Azariah, okay? He saw Uzziah had this censer in his hand, and he went after him. And I can just see saying to Uzziah, that's not your job. You're not supposed to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. Look at verse 17 with me. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. These were men of God. Men that loved the Lord, men that were leading the people correctly in the area of religion. That was their job. They were taking care of the tabernacle. The priests were doing what they were supposed to do. And the Bible says here in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king. That means they stood up against him. 81. There was 80 priests plus Azariah. I'm guessing, the Bible doesn't tell us here, but he may have been the main priest. But there was 81 priests. The Bible says here went after King Uzziah. Look at verse 18. They withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God. From the Lord God. So he had rushed into the temple. He was trying to do the job of the priest. What made him do that was his pride. He got built up. He was strengthened. He became a mighty king, and God had blessed him. But the Bible says his heart brought destruction to his life because it was lifted up. And he thought, well, I can do this. He didn't listen to 81 counselors. Azariah, the priest, and these 80 other priests tried to tell him, you're going to mess up your life. You're going to hurt your life. Teenagers, listen to me tonight. You have mom and dad. You have a youth pastor. You have a pastor. You have Sunday school teachers. You've had Sunday school teachers since you were young. They've tried to warn you about the things you're trying to do in your life, and they're concerned about you. They don't want you to be destroyed. They don't want your heart to fall to destruction. Listen to them. Some of you aren't listening to me tonight. I'm telling you, they do it because they love you. You think, well, they want my life to be miserable. No, they want your life to be happy. They want you to be holy so you can have a happy life. Listen to your parents. Listen to counselors. All right, I'm preaching to the teenagers. Adults, how many times are we warned and warned and warned about things, and we turn our hearts against the counsel God has given us? His heart was so lifted up in pride, he did not listen. They tell him not to go through with it. They tell him it's going to ruin his life. Get this tonight. Pride is when you won't listen to the counsel that God's put before you. Pride is when you think you know it all. Look at verse 20. Let's see what happened to Uzziah. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. They had to run him out of the temple because leprosy had come on his forehead. He even sawed himself and he got out of there because he knew God had smitten him. It's a sad day when we don't get pride out of our lives, get that high view of God again, and get holiness in our lives, that we realize our own selves what God has done to us because we wouldn't listen to him, because we let pride get raised up in our life. Think about this. Uzziah was a godly king. We think, well, he must have been a terrible man. No, he was a godly king. He was listening to God. He had a high regard for the word of the Lord. How many people today are godly, have a high regard for the word of God, but there comes a time in their life that they say, all right, I don't need it anymore. Look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. That means a leper's house. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Here's a man who loved God. The Bible taught us over in Isaiah that he did what was right in the sight of God, and now they have to cut him out from the house of God. Don't you think what he's going through tonight, what Uzziah's going through? He loved the house of God. He was the type of person that wanted to be in the house of God every time the doors were open. He wanted to be there. He wanted to be a good example. He wanted to do the things that pleased God. He loved the house of God. He loved the fellowship that comes with the house of God. And now they've cut it off. They've cut it off. So many times we look at the circumstances, we think we can handle it, pride gets built up in our life. Before we know it, our lives are ruined. We get cut off from the house of God. And so they cut him out from the house of God. He regarded the word of God, but pride began to creep in his life. You know what he was saying? You know what? These rules don't belong to me anymore. He knew he wasn't supposed to go into the temple and burn the incense. He knew that. He knew the rules. He knew the what God had set down for his people. But he says, I don't need those rules anymore. How many young people, how many adults have said, well, I don't need the rules anymore. I don't need God anymore. I don't need these things. I don't need it anymore. You know what happens? They think that, yes, the Bible's good and the Bible's right, but it doesn't apply to me. It's just for the other people. And so when we begin to think that the Bible doesn't apply to us, we bring big trouble into our lives. When we think that, oh yeah, that's good for so-and-so, and that's what that person needs to hear, but we think, I don't need that anymore. What's happened? Pride has been built up in our lives. His heart was lifted up. He didn't listen to the 81 warnings. He was smitten by God with leprosy, and he lived the rest of his life all alone. Why? Because of pride. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. So what happens next? Look at verse 23 here of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And Uzziah slept with his fathers. That means he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said he was a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Look at chapter 27. Look at verse 1. And Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jeshusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. So he was leading the country. He saw that his father was successful by following after the Lord. So he goes, I'm going to try this. I'll do that. But very quickly, look what happens in, didn't take much longer after that. Look at the rest of verse 2. It says, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Let me tell you this, pride has children. Think about that tonight. Pride has children. Pride manifests itself. Please get this thought and this principle and this idea. Pride will manifest itself the most in our own children. I've watched it down through the years over and over. When the pride gets built up into a father or a mother, and they don't need the Bible anymore, they don't need church anymore, the one that affects the most is their own children. I think about Jotham, and I think one good reason we need personal revival tonight, if nothing else, for our children's sake. The reason I need to walk as close to the Lord as I possibly can, the reason I need a fresh view of God every day is for my children's sake. I want to see them do right. When our hearts get lifted up in pride, our children see us. They come behind us. They see how we react. They come along behind us. They are watching our walk with God or the lack thereof. Jotham took it a step farther than his father ever did. He did not even care. He had no time for the church. He said he didn't even enter the church. No time for it anymore. That's where we're at today. We're seeing children and young people flee the house of God when they get become adults. They're gone. I wonder if it started back with a parent who was full of pride, wouldn't get things right with the Lord, and they remember seeing that. They remember seeing that, and when they got out on their own, they said, I don't need it anymore. I don't need the house of God anymore. They don't care. They don't have time. They will not be faithful. Why? Because somewhere their hearts have been lifted up in pride. Somewhere a parent, an adult has been lifted up in pride, and they follow after that. Before we get too hard on the generation that's now, what did Brother DJ call it? The millennial? Millennials, is that what it's called now? Right? I have a hard time following that because it changes so fast on me. I just get used to one thing. I think it was yuppies. What? No, that was several generations ago. The millennials, they're looking for an answer. And we could give them that answer, but we're so full of pride and unholiness in our lives, they don't want to follow after it. They have no time for it. And so we follow after them. But I want you to show you something tonight. We have a man who's full of pride, Uzziah. His own son has a don't care attitude. But I want to tell you something tonight. Pride has grandchildren. Look at chapter 28, if you would, with me. Chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. Now, this is the grandson of Uzziah. And was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He, just two generations away, now he does nothing what's good in the sight of the Lord. Let's go on. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. This was Uzziah's grandson. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. The very thing that Uzziah did in the temple because of his pride, now his grandson is now doing that in high places. And on the hills and under every green tree, the chapter 4 says. Well, look at verse 24. We can't take time to go through all that, but look at verse 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So we have Uzziah. A man of God, a great king. He loved the Lord. He was doing right, but pride got into his life. And the church of God was cut away from him because of his leprosy. And then we have his son who said, I don't care. I don't need church. I don't need it. And I'll just leave it out of my life. I don't have time for it. And then the grandson, he's out destroying the church. He hates the church. How many times we see that. Uzziah was cut off from the church. Jotham did not care for the church. And Ahaz was destroying the house of God. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. And that's the main part of our message tonight. I'm almost done. Don't be worried. I'm just on point one, okay? But Isaiah learned from the example of Uzziah. And he lifted up his eyes. He got his eyes off the circumstances. He didn't worry about what Uzziah was doing. He didn't worry about the fact that Uzziah was dead and the throne was empty. He looked up and he got a fresh view of God. And self was reduced. But the second thing we find, sin is revealed. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Here's Isaiah. Look what he says about himself. Woe is me. He didn't say, look what a Uzziah did. Look what his son did. Look what his grandson did. Look what Judah's doing. Look what the children of Israel are doing now. He didn't look at them. He said, look what I am. Woe is me. The first five chapters in the book of Isaiah, the first four is Isaiah prophesying against the cities of that are around Jerusalem, and he's telling about the trouble that's about to come to those cities. That's just a quick thought of that. In chapter 5, he's actually talking to the children of Israel, and he's telling them about what's going to happen to them. We talked about that at the beginning, that he was very unpopular because he stood. But here in chapter 6, he's not concerned about everyone else. He's saying, I need a personal revival. Woe is me. And each and one of us need to do that tonight and say, woe is me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Don't look at everyone else. Don't be concerned about what everyone else is doing. Look at me. Lord, help me to lift up my eyes to you so I can have personal revival in my heart. He says, woe is me. Revival comes when we stop worrying about everyone else and we start worrying about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if everyone in this room tonight would just say, God, I want to be holy again. God, woe is me. I need to get my life straightened out. I need to get it taken care of. Every one of us did that tonight. What a revival we'd have. We'd have it long before April 9th. Revival comes when we quit worrying about what's happening in our nation. Oh, we ought to pray for our nation. Revival comes when we stop worrying about the White House, what's going on there. Let me tell you something, God's in control. There's nothing I can do about those things. I can pray, and that's all I can do. Revival comes when we stop worrying about politics and all the things that are going on. Revival comes when we get off Facebook and stop posting our problems but casting our cares upon Christ. That's popular tonight. Revival comes when we stop pointing fingers at everything else and saying, what's wrong in America? And what's wrong with so-and-so? What's wrong with that church? What's wrong with that person? But we point the finger back to us and say, woe is me. We're not looking up when we see God high and holy. We think about our sin. Well, it's just little compared to other people's sins. But what about pride? The very sin that Uzziah had. Is that a sin in our lives? That's a major sin. What about anger? Many people here tonight have anger built up in them. No one knows anything about it. It's gonna destroy you. What about bitterness? Bitter about something. What about a critical spirit? What about gossip? What about backbiting? Those are sins, and if we don't get those straightened out, our sin will destroy us. And so we must realize we have real problems. We stand in the need of revival. Not everyone else, but myself. That old song says, it's me again, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Me. And so sin is revealed. Look at verse 5, if you would, with me. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Drop down to verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth, And he said, "Lo, this man touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged." His sin was revealed. He admitted to it. What do you do? What is that? That's confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then we cannot confess our sins until we see God high and lifted up. And then the last thing tonight, service will be required. Look at what it says here in verse 8. "And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." You reduce yourself, you get your sin revealed, and automatically you'll want to serve. Automatically, it's automatic. If you get those two things taken care of in your life, you'll want to serve. It will not be hard to find workers for whatever needs to be done in the church. We need more nursery workers, amen? We need more people in the choir. We need people doing security. We need, whatever the need is, you know, if everyone get their hearts right and do what God wants them to do in these matters, we wouldn't have enough jobs for everybody. And so service will be required. He said, who will go for us? He said, here am I, send me. Revival comes, we'll get busy for God again. Isaiah's whole life, his life plan changed in this one moment. Your whole life plan can change tonight in this one moment as you'll see God high and lifted up. We need personal revival. He was pretty tight with Uzziah. He'd been a longtime prophet and working with Uzziah, but now Uzziah's gone. And he realized he needed God. He was high and lifted up. He saw God that way. I need the same thing in my life. When we get a high view of God, everything else will fall in line. A couple more thoughts and we'll be done. What is my greatest need? What is your greatest need? What is Pine Bluff Baptist Church's greatest need? We need more people in the church. We could do better. It would be nice if we had some more finances. Yeah, those things are important, okay? But that's not what we need. We need personal revival. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And we sang the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." That's what we need to do tonight. I asked you tonight, and I asked myself this week as I prepare for this message, I've got to have personal revival in my life. Do you want that tonight? Do you want that? I want that. I think of times in my life when I've been down and struggling. Times I tried to do it on my own, I fell flat on my face. But when I looked up, forgot about the circumstances, God brought personal revival in my life, and he's able to use me again. Where are you at tonight? I believe when we give an invitation, we ought to just run to the altar and say, "God, I want to look up to you. I want to leave out the circumstances. I don't want to worry about what's going on. I want personal revival."